they're 9-7 or an 8-8 team, and it's just amazing how even myself, where you may look at a 12-4 record, oh, that's pretty good, but when you're New England, you set the standard so high, like it's awfully hard to accept anything less. And earlier in the interview, you talked about Calgary being the standard in the CFL. So in more ways than one, you have an understanding that when you set the standard, you set the bar so high, like anything less, it becomes unacceptable.
Well, I mean, you're right, and you said you guys have been spoiled, which is very true. I mean, we're never going to witness a dynasty like this ever again.
Yeah.
And I think any sport. This is the starting. I think Patriots have been with their for the last 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years.
Been there half the time, mm-hmm. a full decade of almost being to the Super Bowl, and you know this started back in the 2000s.
Yep.
I mean, this is never going to be done again, and it's like I get it. We're you know, the outside view and, you know, the public eye is saying, hey, you know, we're like done with this. You know, we just want them to be knocked off. I'm like, so do I. But at the same time, let's just be kind of grateful in the way, too. And
I am so glad you say this.
We're never going to, yes. And like, trust me, I'm not, I cannot stand them. But credit too, because look at what they're doing. Look what they've been doing the past 20 years. I hate it. But at the same time, it's like everyone thinks that when he hasn't figured out, you know, Patriots are done. You know, Tom Brady's getting older. They don't have the same assets as before, but they've won championships where their offense didn't look that great either, at least on paper.
Wow, and it's good to hear that, because like you don't really ever hear that in the States, like outside of New England, where how about we actually just appreciate it? Because the national sports media here is like, oh, the dynasty's done. Brady is. He's washed up. He's all done for. He has no chance. Tennessee's gonna beat them to a pulp tomorrow. Like it's like, wow. We have, and I say this in terms of the American sports culture, we really tend to hate on greatness because, and I want to get your viewpoint, especially from a Canadian sports fan, Canadian athlete yourself. Americans, we tend to hate on greatness for whatever reason. Whether as a Yankee fan, in the '90s, like watching those great championship teams, and even in 2009 when they last won the World Series, and in the Patriots the last 20 years, it's been like, oh my God, where they just go away? They, we don't really appreciate greatness until after the fact. Is the viewpoint in terms of Canadian sports coverage the same in Canada, or is it more of a base from an appreciation standpoint?
No, you know what? You're right. I think it is similar, and I want to give a good example for hockey purposes, but no Canadian market has been quite like the New England Patriots. So
yeah.
I guess in terms of like attention and treating teams and holding them out at their standard, I would say the Leafs would probably be the best example. Leafs in Montreal would probably be the best example because, I mean, if you're doing poorly there, that fan base, that entire city is going to let you know about it. Every single day, every hour, on social media, whatever platform that they can find until things start getting pushed around. And that's,
wow. You know,
and that's why I kind of hate now that the Toronto Maple Leafs are doing so well, is because now that we know every radio station I hear is all about the Leafs, even 2 hours away from Toronto where I'm in London. They talk about the Leafs, and now they're going to be this, you know, Stanley Cup team. And they always think that either way. But that whole fan base is nuts. Even if they're a very average team and, you know, might make a slight dent in the playoffs, the fan base is, you know what, they're passionate. They're still going to sell every game, regardless if they're good or bad.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. And that's why where you are right now, I'm thankful because the Boston Bruins have put them out of the playoffs the past three times in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that you know, I'm very happy with that, and I know a lot of Bruins fans too, and they go back and forth with all these fans I have. But I would say that the best example would probably be Toronto, just because I assume it's the same way out there in New England, where they hold you to that standard, where you know, good or bad, they're going to be on top of you. And obviously, it goes both ways. When things are going well, they love you, right? You're on top of the world. But when you're doing bad, oof, the media, they are all over you. And I know even in Toronto, there's been a few very good players who wanted out because of the media purposes and what they kind of bring to the table. And it's not just Toronto, it's really any Canadian market in general. Since hockey is so big here, the cities just pay attention to it. And the passion that they have for each team is insane.
Now I got to ask you, because like you mentioned about the Canadian the Canadian markets and so forth, and on a quick side note, I did not expect for this to be as good as it is. I gotta admit it up front, and I'm really enjoying this conversation.
Like the interview,
like the interview and the conversation. I didn't expect it to be which is a great credit to you, because I'm learning a lot about you, and as well as a lot about your viewpoint in terms of sports, as well as like learning about how Canadians view the sports coverage and so forth. I'm learning a lot as is from you. What I'm saying is that I'm very appreciative of that, and which leads to the question. Next question I have is, you mentioned about like the Canadian markets, like Toronto, for example, when it's going well, it's going great. But when it's going real bad, like the city and the region can turn on you and so forth. Now, as it pertains to the Toronto Argonaut, like what is the coverage of the team like? Does it get the same coverage the way that the Leafs or even the Blue Jays or the Raptors get and so forth? And if so, what is the...
Keep going. we're like the fifth team in Toronto, man. And
really?
It's a shame, dude. I'm very happy you brought that up, because the Argonauts play in the toughest city in the CFL, maybe of all sports, because you think of that, first of all, we have the most great cubs of any team. I think if you look this up too, we're the oldest, both NFL and CFL, we are the oldest franchise in North America.
Wow.
That's kind of cool when you think about that. But then when you look at the market now, when you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you said the Toronto Blue Jays, now you have the Raptors who are doing very well. They just won a championship.
Yeah.
And then you have TFC, the same tenants we have for BMO Field. We both play at the same stadium. I think they're ahead of us. We are the fifth team in Toronto, and then it sucks because we don't get the same attention that these our Cubs get. And it shows, we show for home games. And if you saw our venue at BMO Field, it's a nice stadium. It's perfect for CFL. It's nice. 25,000 seat stadium. It's right by the lake. It's beautiful ambiance. It's right local to Liberty Village, which has a bunch of local bars and just nice ambiance out there. Nice things, just to do, like a little pre-drink or to grab a meal. There's no shortage of places like that around the stadium. It's a nice little setup and area. It's just when you're the fifth team and no one wants to come watch you, it sucks.
Mm. Wow.
That's kind of where we're at. When you're the fifth team in the city, it's tough to kind of promote for that. So, and again, I'm obviously, we've been 4-14 for the past 2 years, so that doesn't help either, right? So, I mean, if we were doing a bit better, things would obviously change around. But I wasn't on the team yet, and I have to bring this up because I think it's important.
Yeah.
Back in 2017, when Toronto won the Grey Cup, no one remembers that. And the reason why I say that is because when the Raptors won their championship last year, the city of Toronto, they're saying that, it's a 27 year hiatus that the city hasn't won a championship. But I think they're referring more to, the Raptors, Blue Jays, the Leafs, obviously.
Yeah.
But then they'll think about, well, TFC just won a championship back in 2016, 2015. The Toronto Argonauts just won a Grey Cup back in 2017. So no one takes the Argonauts seriously. And it's really a shame, especially with how much history is behind the club. They really should, but under the territory and then, the way sports is now and with the Leafs and the Jays and the Raptors.
Last question, when you talk about how the coverage in terms of like the Argonaut and given that they're viewed as the fifth team and so forth, and a lot of it, as you mentioned, has to do with the lack of winning in the last couple of seasons. Now, what do you think is, from an objective point of view, what do you think is the single biggest factor in terms of the organization making a big turnaround in terms of establishing a reestablishing a winning culture for the organization to bring them back to being in the forefront of media coverage in the city and as well as the region?
Well, see, that's kind of a tough question, but one thing I can answer that is I think having a coach who's in here long-term and giving him time to kind of develop and know the roster and bring in the pieces that he wants, because at that point he had the keys to the team, and understanding that it's going to be more than a year process. You know, we might not have the year that we want to next year, right? But at the same time, we have to stick with it. We have to trust whoever is going to be next, right? And just follow that process. So if we sign a guy to a 3-year deal, let's respect that entirety of that contract and let him do his thing. Because honestly, I think outside of, you know, like the new head coach, again, I don't know much about him, but the people I've talked to seem very high in him. So that's perfect. But let's, you know, give him a chance. Let's not, you know, if things kind of go south for a little bit, that's just, you look at our past 2 years, I think now they're like starting to say, okay, we can just keep fire. We can't turn into the next Cleveland Browns team, right? We can't be the Cleveland Browns with some fire coaches, like pretty fire the past like 10 years, like 15 coaches is nuts. But,
yeah,
you know, we need a team. We need a guy that's going to be long-term and just give him a chance to succeed, because you're not really showing your team. You know, it's tough to follow someone when you're walking around on eggshells and you know he's on the hot seat and, you know, okay, well, here we go. We're just going to go into next season with another, you know, with a new head coach and new system that we have to learn. And, you know, that kind of gets tiring after a while. And I think with the other pieces we have around, with the players that are on this current roster right now and with our coaching staff, with our OCDC, I think we're fine. You know, I'm a big fan of our special teams coaches as well. So hopefully that all stays intact and we just trust the process. I think that's going to be the bigger, you know, the more outlying issue is that just going forward is just focus on that guy, let him do his thing. You know, we might not win some games at first, but stay the course. I think that's the biggest thing with our new head coach. Just trust it and stay the course.
Zach Medeiros, the Toronto Argonaut, joined us live on the Sugar Ryde Show on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Zach, it's been an absolute pleasure and a blast speaking with you. And regardless of what happens next in terms of your free agency path, I wish you nothing but the absolute best moving forward and the happiest of new year to you here in 2020.
Hey, man. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on your show, man. It was a blast.
Absolutely. My pleasure. We'll definitely reconnect real soon.
Sounds good, man.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Take care. That was Zach Medeiros of the Toronto Argonaut live on the Strictly Right Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. We're going to take a break, and we are going to... We'll be back in just a few moments. You're listening to the Strictly Right Show. This is Strictly Right. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Fight this holy I'm a Gideon. One love. So when the man comes, there will be no doom. One song. Have pity on those whose chances grow ten. There ain't no hiding place from the Father of creation. Say it. One love.
That was Bob Marley, One Love. And I tell you, I told you the other day that I'm a big Bob Marley fan, and I mean, his music still lives on to this very day. So we're going to continue on to the next song that I have lined up, and this is this Love, also another classic by Bob Marley, but I'm telling you, never ever gets old. It's Friday afternoon. It's Friday evening. I tell you, this man, long live the legend. Enjoy.
I wanna love you and treat you right. I wanna love you every day and every night. We'll be together with the
my
That is, that is Bob Marley. It's This Love, absolute classic. And welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We got about 40 minutes left in the show. Anything and everything is on the board now. We talked Celtics briefly last hour. We just had Zach Medeiros live on the show. And we talked Bruins to start the show today. So 40 minutes left. I want to get to some thoughts. Anything. Anything was on the board. Anything you want to talk about. Call in. Patriots, they're playing tomorrow night. What are your thoughts? I'm telling you, I'm excited for the game and whatnot. But I do know this, though. It's going to be real interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how it all unfolds. And we're going to talk about this briefly coming up shortly. We're going to want to pause for a bit for PSA. It's brought to you by 91.5 FM WMFO Medford.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
That's a PSA brought to you by 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. We got a personal favorite of mine in terms of music and whatnot. I'm just going to play this quick song, and then we come back and talk about the Patriots. And yeah, happy Friday to you wherever you may be. Hope you like this one coming up. Electric Feel, MGMT. Oh, yeah.
Shut up.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Touch Free Farm Radio. Glad you are able to join us on a Friday evening, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Always appreciated. And as we enter Wildcard Weekend, it is incredibly strange. And we'll talk about this tomorrow on the Shukri Wright Show at its regularly scheduled time from 5 p.m. to 6 here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. And I think if we're going to be completely honest, it's very strange that we're sitting here talking about the Patriots playing a wild card weekend. But it is what it is. We're past it. It's done. It's over. It's over with. But the fact is, they're playing the Titans, and this is not a team to be taken lightly at all. But I don't want to talk about the game. I actually want to talk about this particular topic that I thought about just now. And I think it's worth sharing. Because I think this question has really come up a lot today. And I think it's fair. I'll tell you this. What if tomorrow's game is the last game of the Brady Belichick era? What if? Just what if? Normally, I'm not in for the whole what if game, what if this, what if that. But when we sit here and we really look at what the bigger picture is in regards to this team, it is for the fact that these two men have been together for 20 years now. That's just the truth. And that this hasn't been any year in particular where there's been any type of semblance of normalcy, quote unquote. So, with the Patriots, I think this really does beg the question. Regardless of what happens moving forward, let's say the Patriots do win, great. But whenever the Patriots playoff run ends, whatever point it is, whether if it's tomorrow or hopefully after Super Bowl 54 in Miami, the question has to be asked, is this really it? Is this really it? Because I've talked about this going back to the summer. And it seemed to be outrageous back then. If you don't believe me, go back in the archives, which you can access on WMFO.org. And go back to my radio shows. Click on the Shukri Wright's show tab on the schedule. Go back to August. It's there. On record, I mentioned back then that it wouldn't shock me if this were to be the last season that Brady plays in New England. And that, is this really a possibility? And I think that a lot of Patriot fans were not ready to even remotely accept that possibility. But here we are. With everything that's going on this past regular season, the regular season's done now. It's the playoffs. Everything that went on in 2019, I got to ask you, do you honestly think that this could be it? To be honest with you, I think it could be. I really do. No matter how it ends. Hopefully not with a loss, but in Miami, hoisting the 7th Super Bowl title, hopefully. But this is now the time where you really open that can of worms and you have to, and that question is going to be asked. Twice this week, we'll talk about this furthermore tomorrow. Twice this week, the Patriots, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady, respectively, once each, we're asked about, is this it? Is this the last, potentially the last time that these two men could be on the same sideline together? We don't know. But what was their response? And listening to their response, you kind of got the sense that, oh, by the way, hey, maybe, just maybe, maybe there is a chance, but Belichick, you just never know. Because he's like, well, we just got to focus on Tennessee and doing the best that we can to prepare for Tennessee and, you know, put our guys in the best position to proceed to succeed. Well, Brady, on the other hand, is, you know, I'm not one who's into the whole nostalgia. You know, we got a game tomorrow to worry about. That's it. That's all we got. That's all we have. We're on to Tennessee. And I know this for a fact that we have an opportunity in front of us to advance in the playoffs, and we got to do our best. It's a very good Tennessee team. And we're going to have to bring our A game and make sure that we play well in all three facets of the game. Offense, defense, special teams. That's what we're going to have to do. Yeah, I think we get the message, but the reality is, if they lose, if the Patriots lose to the Titans tomorrow, what now? And arguably, we're talking about an NFL history altering offseason for the New England Patriots, potentially. But the truth is, this was going to happen regardless. It's the truth. It was going to happen sooner than later. And we're at a point now where, is this really it? But instead of worrying about if this is going to be it or not, the Patriots have a game tomorrow in which, frankly, they really shouldn't be playing in this game, but because they shot themselves in the foot last weekend against Miami, whoop-de-doo, you're going to have to just suck it up and just deal with it. Here you are. You could be off, but right now, Baltimore and Kansas City is enjoying this weekend off. We'll see. We will see. I can't believe that this topic of conversation even came about this whole week, but even more so today, more than usual. It's amazing how much has been made in terms of what this team is going to do moving forward after Brady. And now, This is only fair. It's only fair to ask. I don't know about you, but I do think that after all, the Patriots, they have some major questions to answer come the offseason. And that's just the truth. Because I don't know about you, but I don't know how many of you are honestly ready to even embrace that reality. That's just being honest. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little Red Sox, because there was a rumor that came out a couple of days ago that I really want to touch on in regards to the Boston Red Sox. And it's only fair. And I'm going to talk about it. You're listening to The Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio. It's now 4:41 East, Friday afternoon. That was George Harrison, Got My Mind Set on You. And we're going to talk some Red Sox to close out the show because let's face it, we're in January now and spring training starts in a month. Don't know if you guys realized, but yeah, got 1 month until the start of the sort of spring training pitchers and catchers. So there was a rumor that came out just the other day, actually this week, about the Red Sox potentially, and I do say potentially shopping Mookie Betts and David Price to none other than the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm not even kidding. I do remember seeing an article about that courtesy of CBS Boston. I mean, now, none of us really know how true it is. I mean, that's just truthfully speaking. No one knows how true it is. But what I do know is this. What I do know is that this kind of conjures up memories of 2012 when the Red Sox and the Dodgers, if you may recall, engaged in one of the big blockbuster trades in baseball history at that time. You may remember guys like Adrian Beltre getting traded in that deal, Carl Crawford, Josh Beckett, you know, just some of the big name guys that were traded in that deal. So yeah, this is what it brings back memory to, but I'm not comparing like the situations and saying, they're the same thing. No. But what I am saying is that was actually the last time they did business with each other on a major scale. So when you're talking about the Red Sox looking to trade Mookie Betts, listen, that's not a surprise at this point. And if you are still surprised, still clamoring for the Red Sox not to make this deal, then I got news for you. That you're an idiot. You are an absolute idiot. If you still are holding on to hope that the Red Sox are going to hold on to Mookie Betts and for him not to get moved at some point, whether it happens in the offseason or even at some point at the July 31st trade deadline, if the Red Sox are out of contention. Call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I want to also point out this important piece here. Now, this is the season for rumors. All the rumors. Rumors in regards to the Red Sox. And, you know, if it wasn't that long ago that I did say that the Red Sox have been a little too quiet on Jersey Street. I did say that right here on this same station, same airwaves. I said that. Now here we are in January. They are still very quiet. And now you're hearing rumblings of Mookie Betts, David Price maybe. Because after all, I've said this on the show before, and I'll say it again. If you are going to shred payroll and try to get to that to at or below the 208 luxury tax threshold, then you're gonna have to move some of your big contracts off the books. That's the truth. And who are those guys? David Price, Mookie Betts, potentially. I mean, at the end of the day, we're not saying this just to get you all like riled up and oh my God, how could you? Like, we're talking business, and at the end of the day, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Red Sox have had ample opportunity to sign Mookie Betts to a long term deal. And not that they haven't tried. They tried. But Mookie Betts said no. He said no. So, what more can you possibly ask for? I don't know. Because I do know that even if the Red Sox, I say, they return to contention next season and everything, you know, falls in place, you know, the Red Sox, they're contending for a playoff spot, all that fun stuff. But then what? At the end of the 2020 season, then what? What happens now? Oh, by the way, Mookie's going to be a free agent. And what now? Are you confident that the Reds are going to still have that money to sign him? Are you? Tell me the truth. I'm waiting. I'm not as confident as you would think. Because frankly, how many opportunities have the Red Sox extended themselves to Mookie and he's turned them down? It's only about so many times that you can keep going to the well, the proverbial well, and you end up coming up dry. I mean, it blows, but it's the truth. So, with that being said, if the Red Sox were to make that deal or make that trade and so forth, would I be shocked? No. Do I expect it? In a way, yes. But the fact of the matter is, do I believe that Chaim Bloom was actually going to have the, you know, is he going to have a pair to actually do it? You know, a pair of you know what? That's the question. Because right now, no Red Sox fan can sit here and tell me they know what you're going to get out of Chaim Bloom. Because I mentioned this about a week, if not more so ago, that you had an opportunity to actually trade David Price before Bumgarner signed, before the Indians traded their ace Corey Kluber to the Texas Rangers. Before all of that, you had a chance. You had a market. And now you don't have a market anymore. So now what? Is it all dead and buried? No. Is it over? No, not by a long stretch. But the truth is, this was your first opportunity to make your mark as a new president of baseball operations and general manager, and you blew it. So what are you going to do now? What's your plan B? Huh? I don't think you have a plan B. That's the messed up part. Oh, that sucks. It absolutely sucks thinking about it. Because I do know this. Right now, as it currently stands, if you go into 2020 season, you have a lot more question marks than certainties. That's just keeping it all the way 100. You just do. And next month, God willing, we're going to talk about it even furthermore as to what are some of the things to look out for as it pertains to the Red Sox as we prepare for the 2020 season. Because trust me, this team's got a lot of questions. So coming up next, we are going to talk about our final thoughts on the day, some predictions, and looking ahead to tomorrow. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusk Free Form Radio. And this is Peter Gabriel Sledgehammer coming up. So I had to change my mind and play a little Salisbury Hill by Peter Gabriel. So either way, I hope you enjoy.
stood still. Eagle flew out of the night. He was something to observe. Came in close, I heard a voice. Standing, stretching every nerve. I had to listen, had no choice.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tusk Street Farm Radio. Final 5 minutes of the show, and these are some of my final thoughts for this show. And just want to go over a quick show announcements. We will be on the air tomorrow at our regularly scheduled time, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., previewing the Patriots Titans matchup. So you're gonna definitely gonna want to tune in for that. From 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. I'll be on tomorrow. Also, there's a couple of show announcements as well in regards to next week. Next week I will be on the air on Monday afternoon from 3 to 5, as well as Thursday, January 9th, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. So again, next week, I'll be on the air 3 times, including, of course, next Saturday's regularly scheduled slot. I'll be on the air on Monday afternoon from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. same time. I will also be on the air Thursday, January 9th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. 3 hours. 3 hours of yours truly. And as well as next Saturday as you, as the regular scheduled slot, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So that's for next week. I'll be back on the air tomorrow night to talk about the Patriots Titans game and so forth and whatnot. So look forward to that. Just want to say quickly, it's now go time for the Patriots. Go big or go home. We don't know what's going to happen next in terms of the Patriots, or whether they'll win the game tomorrow or not, obviously. But we do know this. If this is it, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Because I will tell you this. We're never going to see this again in professional sports. Forget our lifetime. We're never going to see anything like this again. That's just the truth. So just keep that in mind, especially tomorrow, throughout this entire playoff run, honestly. Regardless of how it ends, truth is, enjoy it, because we're never going to see this again. And I think I'm going to personally approach this playoff run, regardless how it ends, with a bit more sense of appreciation. Because it's been 20 years. 20 years now. This team has been at it. And for the first time, it feels like this could be it. And it wouldn't shock me if this ends up being it for this dynasty. So I want to say thank you to Zach Medeiros of the Toronto Argonaut for an outstanding radio interview today. Spoke with him for a little more than 40 minutes. You know, talking about the team, you know, and his career, his you know, sports life and so forth. A little bit of hockey and whatnot. It was absolutely terrific. So thanks to him as always. Thank you for tuning in. I'll see you guys tomorrow evening, 5 p.m. sharp, here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Look forward to talking with you then. Have a great rest of your Friday. Take it easy and go Pats.